It's Monday, December 5th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting, now with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution. Get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. And by Audible, get a free book and a 14-day trial by going to audiblepodcast.com. Everyone, you know what comes next. I got a great show lined up for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Texas via the Geek News Central Portable Studio overlooking Greater Austin. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central Podcast. Yes, we are on the road. Two last shows for the road for this year, and that'll put it really at an end, and then we'll be able to go back to Honolulu and finish the year up. Tonight is a big night for me here for the portable studio, because we have completely, I've had this machine kind of for the last 2 or 3 months, kind of getting it prepped, getting it ready. So I decided to roll it out and go with the new machine on this trip to try to make sure I was, you know, basically ready to head off into the new year. And while we're streaming live with the Mac and using Wirecast and recording, we're going to see how that goes. The last time I used the Mac, it did not have much luck. The video really got kind of jacked up, so we'll see how it goes tonight. But I had to actually buy a new version of Adobe Audition for the Windows machine. And so that's what I'm using tonight, is a brand new version of Adobe and Adobe Audition. So I'm going to see how that had a little challenge getting it to work. It wasn't an exact replacement, but we'll see how the audio quality is on this newer machine. But, of course, I want to welcome you all to the show. You guys don't want to really care to hear about the equipment set up long as we get the show out. I want to welcome all of the longtime subscribers to the show, the Ohana, those of you that really keep the show moving forward, those of you that support the show monetarily, support the sponsors and so forth, thanks for being here. If you're new to the show, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website. Our bloggers put up new daily content, and really they are the engine that keeps those of you coming back on a daily basis to that website. You can subscribe to the show right there at geeknewscentral.com. There's a box there for you, real easy to subscribe. Get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter really contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight that I'm going to send out to you immediately following the show. So signing up for the newsletter keeps you abreast of what is going on with the show. We got listeners from around the world that are tuned in, and I want to thank them for joining us. And whether you're watching or listening, I appreciate it. Of course, behind me, you can see an unkept bed. I got into Austin here this morning and didn't make it through the full day. I had to take a couple-hour combat nap, but good to go to finish the evening out. Email has been off the hook. I mean, I've been doing email, responding to vendors. It's really CES time from a planning perspective, and we'd sent out an email blast earlier today, and that kind of drove some of that traffic. I should have known better and sending that out the day I went on the road, but things have to continue to move forward whether you're at home or on travel. Hey, you want to watch the show? You can watch us live on the Roku. You can watch us post-show on the Roku boxy Samsung Smart TV, and those of you that have an updated Google TV, you now can watch the show on those devices. So, of course, get subscribed, get the channel added. I've gotten some comments back from some people saying it's great. I'm glad you love it. Of course, we're streaming live at live.techpodcast.com and at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we're up on Ustream as well tonight. We're not using the Amazon solution as of right now. We're going to start using that next year when I travel, and I get a little better video quality for those of you that are checking out the show mid-evening when I'm here in basically all of your time zones. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, I want you to send an email off to me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and call the voicemail hotline. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's there for you to vent, talk, share, whatever you want to do, 619-342-7365. Don't forget the Ohanaware at cafepress.com/Ohana Store, cafepress.com/Ohana Store. I want to thank our sponsors, and of course, we'll talk here just a second about GoDaddy. Matter of fact, I spent about 45 minutes on the phone today with GoDaddy talking about their forthcoming sponsorship for our CES coverage. They're going to be putting together a great deal for us. But I've got two great deals right now just in time for Christmas. You know, GoDaddy services save you a lot of money, and I want to check out all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. But specifically, I have a special limited time offer where I get you $1.99 per month economy hosting for 3 months. That's $1.99 per month economy hosting on their 4GH platform. That's their fourth generation hosting platform. It's essentially cloud computing. Actually, I was talking about it today and how as a site grows, as the traffic grows, they incrementally increase the amount of resources that site needs. It's a pretty amazing product. It really is. And we're actually talking about scaling it and running a 4GH instance, or not a 4GH instance, but running the media delivery for all our CES content on a 4GH system, and telling them, you know, the type of traffic they should expect. And so we're just really trying to see if that would work for that product, and they're going to get back with us. I think it's going to, so we're looking forward to that. But you'll want to, for your websites getting started, definitely check out this $1.99 per month economy hosting offer. Link is in the show notes. Of course, we've also got a special deal right now where you can get basically a private listing, essentially for free. Have that link in the show notes as well. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Again, go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy for all my codes, and we appreciate it whenever you link to them. It's greatly appreciated, and helps us send traffic our way. All right, let's go ahead and get down the list here. Talked already a little bit about the new computer that I'm traveling with, and we'll see how that turns out and how the audio quality is. Definitely want to hear from all of you that are listening to the audio programming. Let me know how did the audio sound as compared to maybe the old machine. There shouldn't be that much difference, but there definitely will be a little bit. So we'd love to hear from you as well. And here in Austin this week for business, and I wrap up on Friday meeting with the folks at Dell. It's going to be a very busy week here in Texas, and then head back to Honolulu on Saturday. There was no Saturday morning tech show this weekend. I really, what it boiled down to is I just ran out of time. I had a very big project to do, getting the system ready, getting the broadcast studio ready. We got that out of storage. I got it in the garage, basically got everything plugged in. Really didn't take me too long. It took me about 3 hours to go through it. That's all set. We have some odds and ends of things I've got to do, obviously. But the crux of the gear is really almost ready for shipping, which is amazing. Here we're only the 5th of December, but it's something to get out of my hair, and I can get on to other things. Also tonight at the end of the show, we're going to talk about some donations that have come in for the CES 2012 support donations. And really, I want to say thanks right off the bat. I did a special mailing on Saturday, and a number of the Ohana have stepped up and have contributed, a couple of you with some very big dollars. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. But again, you're going to find a link in the show notes tonight that is really got all of the details. We want you to help our support staff. Our support staff come out, and they're listeners like you, or they're people that have come to the show with us in years past. They come on their own dime. And while we try to provide them a certain level of financial compensation, really it's not adequate for what they've done in the past, and we want to be able to save or raise enough money to help them in a bigger way. So we're trying to raise $5,000, and we hope that you'll come in and make a contribution, $25, $50, $100 or more to help us out, and that would be greatly appreciated in getting us a little farther down the road on being able to help those content creators. I did say that this month I'm running an additional sponsor for a couple of weeks, and all the money from that sponsor will go to that same exact cause. And I tell you, I've been finding now when I'm traveling more, really kind of sleeping less on the airplane, which is kind of weird. I normally try to sleep as much as possible, but the last couple of trips I haven't slept that much. So what I've been doing is really I've been trying to occupy my time either with podcast or with audiobooks. And, you know, Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the net. And it allows consumers to choose audio versions of their favorite books, and they have a library of like 85,000 titles. I talked to you on the last show that I'm finishing up the Gadgetplex, which is a great book on Google. But really, I want you to save some money. I want you to get a free book. And what a great way to get a free book for Christmas. It's a free audiobook. And all you got to do is go over to audiblepodcast.com/geeknews, audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. And really, what you're going to do is you're going to be able to get choose out selections in business, classics, fiction, history, romance, mysteries, thriller, sci-fi, self-help, fantasy, kids, young adult categories. There's just, you know, you name it, they've got it. And really, this is a great way to, you can even share as a family when you're up and down the road with the kids. Pick a book that they may be interested in and then play it in the car. You can do that real easy by plugging into your audio system with your iPad or your iPhone or even the iPod or an Android device. And really, this is a great offer. It's a 14-day free trial. And all you got to do is sign up by going to audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. Get a free book and get a free book for Christmas. And, you know, Audible's a sponsor here, and basically we thank them for their support and definitely check them out. All right, let's go ahead and move on here and look at my stack of stuff that I've got in my list. I don't have a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to go ahead and get right into the content here. We'll talk about our last sponsor a little bit later in the show, a very important sponsor indeed, and we'll cover them a little bit later. Let's go ahead and you know, one thing that's kind of cool is this new machine has multiple cores, and where my other one would just be howling at this point, I'm watching the amount of CPU utilization that this is using. It's not bad, not bad at all. Matter of fact, it's a 17-inch monitor too, so it's giving me a little bit more, I guess for a better word, a little more love when it comes to viewing the screen, which is nice. And it's nice to not have the computer sitting here howling at me and me worrying about it crashing. All right, let's talk about Microsoft. You know, Microsoft is, as of tomorrow, or actually probably by most of you listening to this show, they are going to be rolling out some major updates to Xbox 360. And these updates are really going to turn your Xbox 360 to an even stronger hub from everything from television shows to movies and music. And the dashboard update is bringing with it the ability to use your Kinect to search for content across every service you have connected to your system. And Microsoft's digital storefronts on Xbox Live and live television. Now, sadly, not all of Microsoft's content partners are going to be ready for the service launch tomorrow. HBO Go won't be available until early 2012, nor will Comcast Xfinity On Demand be available. But here are some of the services that are going to be available tomorrow on your Xbox 360. Epic in the United States, ESPN on Xbox Live, Hulu is going to be available in Japan, Hulu Plus United States. For those of you in the UK, Love Film. Netflix is going to be available in Canada. Premium Play by Mediaset is going to be up for our Italian listeners. Sky Go is going to be in Austria, Telefonica Espana, Movistar Imagino in Spain. And Today Magazine is going to be available in the United States. Really, and what they've kind of the different, you know, this is a different strategy than what Apple TV is doing. It is an interesting mix here because it could be live or streaming, but you're definitely going to be able to enjoy a larger variety of services. And we're working hard to see what we can do to get new media into this new Xbox system. It's just a matter of being able to figure out the economics of it to make it happen. But we hope that over time we're going to be able to get this content and all of our content creators' content into the Xbox as well. And this is one of the things that we've done at some of the infrastructure we put in place recently to kind of help that process along. We just hope Microsoft will jump on the bandwagon. Now, Microsoft is saying they're going to delay Windows Phone launch in China until next year. So, you know, this has been a year now, just about a year. Windows Phone 7 has been out, and Microsoft has wanted to get Windows Phone 7 into China, but they are going to push to 2012. But its delay is due in part to trying to ensure that the Chinese citizens will have a good experience using the platform. And they're trying to also, I think, probably work with the government as well to make sure that that's set up. So, you know, the great firewall of China, sadly. Okay, let me go ahead here and switch topics. I'm kind of all over the chart today. I didn't do a lot of organization of stacking stuff. But European regulators have set sights on Carrier IQ. We talked about them in the last show, and their rootkit scandal has gone international. And, you know, most of the brouhaha really has been contained with the United States so far, but this has gone international now, so it's an international privacy scandal. Carrier IQ continues to defend themselves, saying they're not collecting or storing any of this data, so there's an open investigation going on in multiple lawsuits that have been launched. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But here's a new one. Anol, A-I-N-O-L, launches the Nove 07. This is what's called the world's first Android 4.0 tablet for $100 plus shipping. Now, I was a little surprised to see about this. Found this over on Engadget. But this is the first commercially available tablet with ice cream sandwich to be, you know, to be at $99. The device comes with a 7-inch captive touchscreen, comes with a Vivante GC860 CPU clocked at 444 MHz. It's got 1080p video decoding and a rear 2-megapixel camera with a VGA front-facing camera, USB 2.0, HDMI, a micro SD slot, and this is pretty big. This is, you know, $100. So have not really gotten any more details on that. But again, it's called AINOL, and a little 7-inch tablet. I'm sure not super powered, obviously, for $100, but a great price point for sure. Hey, Verizon is making some movements here. Verizon has is basically launching some more LTE sites. They're going to be. They've said here that they now have 4G speeds for customers in 39. By the end of next week, customers in 39 markets will have LTE, and so the number of cities is going to be 190, with access available to more than 200 million people. But also within their PR announcement, there was a little bit of a tidbit there where they're going to be launching the X-Ward Droid tablet for Motorola, and we don't know a lot about this. But anyway, we're going to see what happens here with this XY board Droid tablet that's going to be coming. And, of course, there's a Galaxy Nexus as well that may be being updated as well. So we'll see what happens with this. But Verizon LTE continues to expand. Tonight's show is being streamed on a Clearwire connection. And we'll talk about Clear and some of their challenges here in a few minutes. But many of you have been Gwala users for a while. I never got into Gwala. But Gwala confirms a move to Facebook. The service is going to shut down in January. So Gwala has confirmed that it has indeed been acquired by Facebook. And the Gwala service itself will be winding down at the end of January. And the team will instead focus their attention on development Facebook features, namely Timeline. Gwala's Josh Williams also assured users that their personal information isn't part of the acquisition, The company will be providing users with a way to export their passport data and other information. So there's a full announcement on the Guala blog as well. So I have that up. Congratulations to the Guala team for being acquired by Facebook, and I'm sure a very nice payday. Cox TV Concept app brings more live cable TV streaming to iPads. So really, this is cool. So Cox has got one now. And like other apps from Cablevision, Time Warner, and DirecTV, it is restricted to use within the home and for jailbreakers. But while connected to Cox Internet service, and you can get over 35 channels available, and looking at the listings, there is definitely no Viacom offerings in there, but there is a number of other channels like TV Land, QVC, TNT, and some of those more progressive networks that want to get their content out there. And TNT's always been a leader. You know, you look at what CNN and that network of programming looking to get expansion. They've always been really kind of on the leading edge of that. So anyway, we'll see what happens with this. But there should be an iTunes. This should be available via iTunes if you want to go. Download it. Here we're in Geek News Central. Jeffrey Powers did a write-up on Cyber Week and basically talking about the holiday spending numbers. And I'm just going to give you the increase in spending. But from November 1st to December 2nd, there was a 15% increase in spending. Thanksgiving Day was 18% up over last year. Black Friday, 26% over last year. Thanksgiving weekend was 16% as a whole up over 2010. Cyber Monday was a 22% increase, and week ending December 2nd, 15% increase. So there's people are spending money, and must be that there is. It's interesting that with the economy still in the tank, that people are spending as much money as they are on Christmas. Maybe people have held back for a couple of years, and they've decided to spend a little more cash this holiday period. But the big promotion during the during the big cyber weekend, of course, was free shipping. And sadly, that didn't apply for Honolulu, but many of you probably got a lot of transactions that you made online shipped to your doorstep for free. So I wish I could have been involved in that free shipping, but I was in Japan at the time and missed out on all the deals. Well, let's... Jeffrey was writing also something on Geek News Central talking about... that I didn't realize that they had done with the new interface for Xbox 360 is you can use your voice to navigate through games, TV shows, movies, and music. This wasn't really known up until a few days ago, I guess. But the Associated Press got a special demo of the new feature. And when the Microsoft employee said Xbox Bing Iron Man, a search from Iron Man came up. When the employee said Xbox Show Movies, a list of movies from various sources appeared. So with over 57 million Xbox sold, obviously Microsoft is going to make an impact for those of you that have done cord cutting. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this works out, and we're definitely going to be playing with it in our household. I told my son to make sure that we get the upgrade right away, and he's going to be messing with it while I'm gone, and I'll be able to check it out when I get back home to Honolulu on Saturday. On a more fun note, you like Angry Birds? I will admit I've been playing a little bit of Angry Birds. I don't know why, but I guess it was one of those things, one of those brain drain things. It was a few hours on the airplane playing Angry Birds. But if you can't get enough of Rovio's Angry Birds, you can buy pillows and outfits and Christmas stockings and you name it. They've got it available. So you can get some stocking fillers and some Angry Birds pillows and stuff. So pretty cool. And I don't know what the prices are, but link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. Well, when I arrived in Austin this morning and picked up my rental car, I was renting from Enterprise, and I had myself listed for an intermediate car, and the guy drove a Ford Focus up, and he said, "Here's your car," and I said, "That's an intermediate car," and he says, "Oh, yeah, that's an intermediate vehicle," and I kind of gave the guy a dirty look, and I'm like, I like the Ford Focus, but it's not really an intermediate car. It's pretty close to me and, you know, a compact. And anyway, long story short, I don't have a lot of distance to drive in, so I loaded everything up, and this is my first chance really to drive a Ford Focus outside of having drove one at the Ford Test Track last year. And this was an SEL version, full leather inside. Everything was decked out. Had all the trimmings. So I spent a few minutes and got my phone synced up and played with things for just a few minutes. You know, but that's what I do with a lot of rental cars now. Is I go ahead and Bluetooth sync and make sure that I can use hands-free with the rental car. And got to the only thing I couldn't figure out was that and this is going to sound dumb because on all the vehicles I've driven in the past, all of the automatics, it's park, reverse, neutral, drive, and then usually like second, first, right? Well, this had park, reverse, neutral, drive, S. And I'm like, S? What is the S for? And I'm going to have to go online and look. Maybe some of the view that has a Focus. Okay, so I know park, reverse, neutral, drive, and S. Okay. Does that mean second gear? Or does that mean... I didn't know. I was trying to figure it out, you know. So anyway, kind of odd. Some pretty good up and go. It did pretty good. I got it. I had to go a little bit of a distance to the hotel, and was quite surprised by the performance, and great gas mileage. I think I had 30.8 for the 100 miles or so I drove this morning. But it leads into this next article talking about drivers and drowsiness. Now, I was pretty tired having just landed, and I really didn't get a lot of sleep on the flight out for some reason. But a new driver fatigue system by Denso is basically tracking subtle muscle movements over a person's entire face and alerting them when they're too tired before they fall asleep. I know that I was doing a few, you know, slapping myself in the faces and, you know, kind of shaking, and made sure the heater was on cool, you know, but still, it can be pretty dangerous when you're sleep deprived and driving. But anyway, this is a new thing that Denso's coming out with, and it may be an add-on feature that you're going to be able to buy and put on your car later. It's something that's going to come default. So I think this is a pretty cool option. We'll keep a watch on this. Maybe they'll be at CS and we can get a full demo of it. But anyway, that's something that's coming out by Denso. Now, on a more fun side, the folks at Gizmodo have found, you guys seen those desktop missile launchers? And basically, what they're little devices that shoot little foam missiles. Have you seen those? They're basically a remote controlled dart launcher. Well, there is a ability now to use your iPhone, and you can be away from the device, and you can target your $82 launcher and aim your barrage that you're going to have. This just looks like a lot of fun. My kids would definitely have a blast with this. $82 is a lot for a toy, but the four foam darts give it a lethal range of about 1,400 square feet. But anyway, pretty cool little device, and you can find it at usb.brando.com. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes, and just, you know, some of these fun games I have, and they're starting to tie them to mobile devices. Okay, the some reason there have been just a lot of news about Voyager, and we keep seeing more Voyager stuff coming out. And I read something today that kind of surprised me. We all know that Voyager is, you know, very close to entering interstellar space. And it's in an area of space right now called Cosmic Purgatory. That's at least how NASA is labeling it. And they're saying it's basically where, using its low energy charge particle instruments and cosmic ray subsystem, the Voyager has been collecting data for the past few, showing that there's no solar winds going either way, like in... And basically, it's kind of like this dead space. And another thing I thought that was kind of funny was that it says that there's almost like a resistance. Now, it's not slowing Voyager down, but before it reaches true interstellar space, it's like Voyager is showing that the outside is pushing back. And I'm trying to find out more details on this. Does it mean that Voyager has to break through, and it's not slowing the spacecraft down, but there is some sort of cosmic charging going on the spacecraft, which is kind of interesting. But they're learning a lot, and I'm excited to see what happens when they get in interstellar space and what measurements they have and what they see, if there's any type of, you know, any type of solar winds or anything like that, that are different types of energy that helps move the aircraft along. But very, very cool. Hey, if you have got an iPhone 4 and you've got it jailbroke, stay away from the full Siri hack that's available. Basically, what's going on here, there's a program called H1 Siri, and there's an issue here. The hack sends your personal information through a server in China, and with the personal information, I mean email, SMS, calendar, contacts, and location. So don't load the H1 Siri module in the iPhone 4 if you have this jailbroke. It's also using copyrighted Apple code. This is not good. And obviously, going through China, you know what's happening with your data. All right, let's talk just a little bit about here Clearwire. You know, last week Sprint basically ponied up to the bar for $1.6 billion and committed funds to the WiMAX operator for them to stay in business. But what it did not provide was capital to Clearwire to help build out the LTE. Clearwire is saying that they're going to be offering common stock worth as much as $300 million with an option for underwriters to purchase another $45 million within 30 days. And that would give it half the capital it needs for the first phase of its new time division LTE network. And it's hoping that Sprint will chip in for the rest of the funds, the additional $345 million they're going to need to do the second phase. But a new public offering obviously is going to do Sprint and every other investor's current shares. And if Sprint wants to maintain its 49.6% majority in Clearwire, it was going to have to pony up more equity, which Sprint has agreed to do last week. So this is interesting. So Clearwire is going to have to raise $400 million, and it looks like Sprint is going to come in behind with the cash. Lots of hurdles, but you know, I think it's good for all of us to have more competition, and I'm hoping that Clearwire can survive this. All right, U.S. Cellular, you know, they've made a statement. They basically told Apple that they're going to take the iPhone when LTE is available. Basically, U.S. Cellular has said that when Apple offered its CDMA variant to the iPhone and declined it, they said they couldn't make the economics work, but they would consider the iPhone when LTE was out. So we'll see what happens with this. But it appears that U.S. Cellular does not plan to support CDMA at all, but if they can get a LTE variant that they plan on making available. So that'll make all of you that are U.S. Cellular customers very happy. So we'll see what happens with this. And there's a bunch of spectrum swapping going on right now, so we have to keep abreast of what's going on with that. Developers are seeing a early boost from the Kindle Fire. You know, I've always wondered how some developers get launched with their apps already preloaded. One of those developers was QuickOffice. It's a productive app maker, and it's been on the Android market for more than 2 years, but it struck a bunch of deals with manufacturers to get its free app preloaded to the Android smartphone. And what they're seeing is a significant number of people upgrading to the Pro version, which sells for $9.99. They're upgrading at a much higher rate than on other devices, and a lot of Android developers are seeing a lot of sales coming through the Kindle Fire. Now, how I'm attributing this to is you have a brand new device that has got a great price point that is probably going into the hands of consumers for the very first time that have never had a tablet. Maybe they don't have a mobile phone that has the app capability. Maybe they're on just a regular cell phone. So maybe this is the first time some folks have had the ability to go out and buy a variety of different apps, and there's a big land rush right now. So I think this is good for developers, and the consumers are definitely getting some experience in buying apps and trying different types of products and services. I've been on an app buying spree recently, especially with my iPhone or with my iPad, and I have not read magazines in years, have not had any time to really read magazines, and matter of fact, probably haven't been in a bookstore that sold magazines in probably 4 or 5 years. It's been a while. But what I did was there was an iPad app called Vimeo, and I'm sure many of you are already familiar with this. I could have bought magazines through the Apple bookstore or whatever it is, but I used the Vimeo app, and I subscribed to a National Geographic, what other one? Some iPad magazine that was cheap, and Scientific American. So I subscribed to three magazines. And I will say that the National Geographic magazine experience was much better than the Scientific American, because there was just so many crap ads. I mean, first of all, you think density on a show like this, where we give you three ads over an hour, you know, whereas when I was looking through the Scientific American, it was like every page had an ad with a little bit of content. I don't know who is still buying ads in those magazines. I guess they must be cheap, because it was annoying looking at it in digital. And there was obviously some of the cool stuff you could click on and it would launch, but I really didn't fully comprehend the effectiveness of it. National Geographic was much better. Did not get a chance to look at the iPad magazine. But, boy, if the density of ads in magazines are that high, I definitely will not be buying very many or subscribing to very many magazines, that's for sure. Well, speaking of sponsors, you know, it's the holiday period. Most of you are going to parties. Work is kind of not being as productive as it normally is. Some people are using sick days, burning up vacation, and really getting everyone in the same room for a meeting can be virtually impossible. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. With GoToMeeting, you can host your meetings online from your computer while your attendees join really from anywhere, from the computer, iPad, iPhone, or Android mobile device, whether they're traveling, snowed in, home, or with a cold. GoToMeeting makes it really just easy as it can be to join meetings and collaborate in real time. You guys know I love GoToMeeting. I've used their apps. I can see host desktop right from my smartphone or tablet. And I've been using the tablet version a lot recently, and attended a meeting. What was it? Saturday? Yeah, I did Saturday. Had a meeting on Saturday with a tablet, and it was actually during my son's basketball game that we went to in the afternoon, and it was kind of cool because I really wasn't an active participant in the meeting, but I could kind of follow along while watching the basketball game at the same time. So you really can attend a meeting anywhere, anytime. And I want you to try GoToMeeting free today. Really, the first thing you need is go to the App Store or Android Marketplace to download the free app and start joining GoToMeetings from anywhere. And you can host your own meeting with a free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. We want to thank GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at the show, and hope that you'll give GoToMeeting a try. The HD Faces stuff is just too cool. It really, really is. All right, moving on topics here. There's a little bit of concern in the Firefox Mozilla space that that Google may not be renewing its search contract with Firefox. Matter of fact, tonight when I loaded... I didn't load Firefox. I loaded Chrome. No, I launched. What did I launch? Somehow, Bing was coming up as the default search on this new laptop. It kind of irritated me. Changed that back to Google. But essentially what's going on is that Google has not yet renewed their contract to be the default search party for Mozilla Firefox. And a lot of the money that Firefox gets comes from Google. And this could spell bad news for the Mozilla Foundation, but I'm hoping that someone will step in if Google drops them and basically continues to compete head-to-head with Chrome. I hope someone continues to build out and support, because without that money, it's not going to bode well for the Mozilla Foundation. It won't bode well for the long-term viability of Firefox. And I don't think any of us want Chrome or IE to once again become the dominant players by dominant companies. We definitely need a browser out there that's being supported and built out by the Mozilla Group to, you know, have us an alternative that we can, you know, and they've had some missteps, obviously, with performance on the browser, but I think we all agree that there needs to be at least three browsers out there, three browsers that can compete. And I'm not saying Safari can't compete, but let's be honest, it has such a small market share that really, you know, that Firefox, Chrome, and IE are really the front runners here. And I guess maybe at some point they're just going to ask all of us to pony up to the bar and help out. Maybe that's what it'll come to. Let's also talk here about Google and the really their dominance in internet advertising. Market share of the main internet portals has changed quite a bit. In 2006, Google had 34.9% of the global ad expenditure percentage. In 2010, they had 44.1%. Now, if you look at the deltas between Microsoft, Yahoo, and AOL, Microsoft, Yahoo, and AOL have consistently went down. If you look at Microsoft standalone, 2006, 8.1%, 2010, 4.0%. Yahoo, 18.7%, down to 9.6%, so a 10% loss. Excuse me, 8.3%, yeah, so 10% loss. But more interesting, Facebook, having come on the scene in around 2006, had 0.2%, now has reached a 3.1%. So Facebook is making a charge on the share of global internet ad expenditures. I have never clicked on an ad within Facebook, so I guess somebody is, or people wouldn't be spending money there. All right, the folks over at Research in Motion, boy oh boy, they just continue to get blindsided and whacked on both sides of the fence. You know, with the Amazon Kindle Fire, they with their pricing, you know, RIM had to lower the price of a couple hundred dollars to $300 to basically battle Fire's loss-leading $199 price. Now, apparently, RIM is just losing money hand over foot on this, and someone's saying to the extent of maybe $400 to $500 million, and it's going to affect negatively their stock, obviously. But boy, they just cannot get their act together. We'll see what they have to announce at CES if they've got anything to come back and fight back with. But it just does not bode well for RIM at all. Hey, you know, I have, when I was going to college, I was using a number of standalone math systems. There's some great ones out there for algebra and for physics and for calculus and geometry. Basically, you plug the stuff in and it basically kind of answers it for you. Well, Google has added a graphical math calculator to search results, and it's pretty cool. I was looking at this, and, you know, there's a lot of kids in the world that cannot afford a scientific calculator, and, you know, if they don't have one, then, you know, making these calculations and doing some of this charting stuff is very, very difficult. So, you know, example, using cosine and doing the square root of a cosine, doing absolutes, all kinds of different, different calculations without a graphical calculator. You just can't do it. So this is some pretty cool stuff. Google has built in, when you do a Google search, let's say you say x over 2, comma, in parentheses, x over 2 to the second power, do an inverted x cosine pi, it lays it out, and it shows it to you. It shows you the graph. This is really awesome. It really is. And, of course, they showed off some examples of some of their charts. You can also zoom the charts as well. And smart stuff it really is here. So another cool feature built into Google Search. Hey, tomorrow is the day. Over 100,000 .xxx domains are going live. Well, one thing's for sure, you don't have to worry about landing on one of these pages unless you directly type in the letters. But it does make me worry. I'm thinking my household, I'm just going to have to put a domain block in on my router, basically blocking .xxx completely. you know, to you know, I've got a growing kids and a, you know, 14-year-old son. So anyway, there's been over 100,000 domains registered in the .xxx domain, all from $70 to $100 a piece. And so, you know, the company behind this is obviously making a lot of money, but we'll see. We'll see how this works out for all of those domain operators. But I don't think they're going to have as much traffic as they, well, maybe. You know, if everything they say about adult materials is true, they'll probably have lots of booming business with those XXX domains, but definitely going to put a block in on our router and just block the whole subnet. All right, Apple versus Amazon ruling. There was some interesting developments over the weekend. A U.S. court on Friday offered a brief glimpse at information that Apple and Samsung really have tried to shield, and they put some stuff up on the web that was accessed without being you know, blacked out. And it basically talks about Apple basically saying they don't think that the Samsung tablet is going to make that big of a impact to their current sales, but it may encourage people to buy Samsung versus Apple. They had lots of talking about licensing and how Apple doesn't license much, and it could be that really they don't want people to see who their licensees are, but some of that stuff was listed in the actual part that wasn't redacted. There was also stuff about royalty licensing going on, where there was some negotiations going on with Apple. There's all kinds of stuff that was in this. There is a footnote in the ruling saying that it does not appear that Apple and Samsung discussed design patents during their negotiation that preceded the lawsuit. And, of course, that's a lot of what has to do with the lawsuit that's going on, is because of the Samsung Galaxy looking a little bit like an iPad. But anyway, lots of stuff here in the subnotes of this article. I have a link up in the show notes. But kind of nice to see some of this basically information that we weren't supposed to see on how that case was going on. All right, parents with kids, with teenagers, remember a couple of years ago how they talked about at least 20% of teenagers had been distributing nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves, a.k.a. sexting? Well, they did a survey, and they reached out to kids aged 10 to 17, and they asked 1,560 kids between 10 and 17, during a 30-minute interview. They found that only 1% of the respondents had distributed sexually suggestive nude photos of themselves. But also, they said that some of the things that they have been sending, which may not be defined as, I guess, sexting, was saying the semi-nude, including underwear, suggestive clothing, bikinis, and such and so forth. So there's a fine line there between what people consider. Obviously, you know, you don't want your kid sending them pictures of themselves in their underwear, but only 1% have taken such a photo, which might be considered child porn, but 5.9% of kids have received one. That's pretty scary in itself, that many kids have received a picture that could be considered child porn. But anyway, this is an emotional issue and not an easy solution with teenagers with hormones and not a lot of common sense. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you to check this out. But it may not be as bad as what they said it was in the very, very beginning. Hey, a Sun-like star hosts Kepler's first confirmed habitable zone planet. NASA played host to a conference dedicated to the results of pouring from Kepler. And basically, they have said that an attention was focused on Kepler-22, where they say there is a planet candidate that orbits on the inner edge of a habitable zone from basically the sun it orbits. And it said if it were in our solar system, Kepler-22 would orbit somewhere between Venus and Earth. Its orbit takes 290 days, and the planet is about 2.4 times that of Earth. But readings they've had, temperature readings look like it's got habitable temperatures on it. So pretty cool what they have found here. So anyway, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. The Swiss government says file sharing is not a big deal. some downloading still okay, so I'm sure that's not making the copyright police happy. But a report was written at the request of the Swiss legislature, which expressed concerns that rampant copyright infringement endangered Swiss culture. In the 13-page document, the nation's seven-member executive branch downplayed those concerns. And so that's kind of interesting. This is the first time a government's kind of downplayed copyright implications. But they rejected the call for internet filtering. And they did say that they should consider a three-strikes approach as something. Right, no, they argued that the three-strike approach was incompatible with a right to free speech and expressed concern that such a regime could give too much power to private copyright holders. And finally, the council considered a compulsory license regimen in which every Swiss internet user would charge a flat fee for the right to unlimited file sharing. I think that's a great idea. But obviously, people are going to probably reject that. But anyway, legislatures may. But interesting finding by Swiss. U.S. government has, U.S. court has denied a preliminary injunction against Samsung. So this is a nice move here. Despite garnering a few preliminary injunctions against Samsung outside the United States, Apple was not able to convince a U.S. federal court to keep its products on store shelves. U.S. District Judge Jody Cull denied Apple's request for a preliminary injunction barring Samsung from selling its Galaxy-branded tablets. So in other words, a big win by Samsung here. And this is a preliminary injunction rested on just a handful of the issues at play. So the judge did not find enough solid evidence to issue a injunction here. So this will go up for a 90-day review. But the court did agree that Apple's list-scrolling bounce-back patent was valid and it passed Samsung devices likely infringed. And but I think there's been some announcements of some licensing here in the last 24 hours or so. So that might be moot point. In a turn of really just an amazing about-face, an Amazon executive has been asking Congress to address online taxes. And this is an interesting update here. They basically have asked Paul Meiser, Amazon.com's vice president for global policy, has urged Congress to set standards for collecting state sales taxes from online commerce, and any exemption to the tax should be kept very low for fairness reasons. He spoke today at the House Judiciary Committee hearing. CETO based Amazon, largest online retailer, has long battled attempts, we know, to by states to levy sales tax. So now they're asking the Congress to basically set some ground rules. And this is a very tough one because sales tax is a state thing. You know, state legislatures are dictate what they can and they cannot collect. It's really outside of the federal government's rule sets to determine, to tell the states where they have to collect sales tax or not. And this is this will be interesting where this goes. You know, of course, if they forced sales taxes across the country, most of us would probably perceive that as a tax increase. And a lot of states don't have sales tax, too. So time will tell here. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. We'll see where this one goes. Of course, China, they rejected a preliminary ruling by a U.S. trade panel that imports of Chinese solar panels are harming domestic industry. The USITO, December 2nd, took the first step toward imposing added tariffs on Chinese solar imports, voting unanimously in Washington on a petition by bond-based Solar World AG that called for anti-dumping and countervailing duties. The commission will now hold a full investigation. So in other words, they're going to be putting a tariff on, looks like, on Chinese imports of solar goods. You know, and they really, that's the only thing that's bringing the prices down are the Chinese, because U.S. companies just can't compete on labor and everything else going on. Hey, I talked about on the last show how T-Mobile users were not affected by Carrier IQ. Well, T-Mobile has Carrier IQ running on a number of BlackBerry devices. BlackBerry 9900, 9360, and 9810. If you have a 9900, 9360, or 9810 on T-Mobile, Carrier IQ is basically spying on you. So be aware of that. And also Senator Al Franken, who heads the Senator Privacy Panel, is asking the carriers now the same thing that he's asked Carrier IQ. They've all been queried and said, hey, you know, you need to tell us how you're, what data you're collecting here, and I want an answer now. Sadly, former HB Chairman Patricia Dunn has passed away. Of course, Patricia Dunn was the former chairman at Hewlett-Packard, who resigned 5 years ago after acknowledging that she approved a plan to spy on board members and journalists. And sadly, she died of, I believe, ovarian cancer. So, horrible way to go. But she was 58. And according to the statement that was made on a variety of sites, I guess she died at home. So anyway, link up in the show notes on that. Very sad to see someone pass away. I already talked about the Google Mozilla negotiating the search deal. Go into that any deeper. Some people are saying that there's no reason to change TV. TV's perfect. And folks were pretty contentious of the article on CNN that questioned the need for further development of TV and the entire TV viewing experience. Well, of course we want to change TV. We want to make it more cool, more accessible. The TV industry doesn't want TV changed because it's, you know, obviously going to shift attention away from them. They've had a controlled environment. So I just found the article pretty funny. It's nice. It's interesting to see who's on which side of the fence. You have to read, okay, who are they writing this for? And depending what industry you're in, depends on which aspect or which view you may have. All right, this one is going to blow you away. And this is, I got just a couple articles left here before we get into the email, but the RIAA is planning to join, wait till you hear this, the Right Haven fight. You know, Right Haven, that's been gotten beaten up and told to pay a lot of money and lost all of its court cases. The RIAA, not a fan of fair use, is saying that, hey, we need to step in here and help because, you know, the fair use doctrine has gotten for the public some, you know, some stuff that's hurting us as the RIAA. So the RIAA is considering putting some money and lawyers to help Right Haven prop up their fair use argument. Wow. it's amazing. Again, RIAA is pretty brain dead, and they refuse to see what kind of PR impact this is. Obviously, this is just a ploy to keep the RIAA lawyers on the payroll and keep the cash cow coming in from the rights holders and paying their dues and so forth. All right, last article here is U.S. Mail. U.S. Mail continues to spiral after ending one-day delivery. And the U.S. Postal Service is taking a big step backwards. And basically, no more overnight mail. The Postal Service says it must reduce its operating costs by $30 billion by 2015 in order to return to profitability and reach its goal. It has been decided that first-class mail will no longer be delivered within one business day. Delivery times will shift from 1 to 3 days to 2 to 3 days. So, me in Honolulu, if I want to send a letter to my neighbor, it will no longer get delivered in one day. It'll take 2 to 3 days now. How's that going to save them money? Really, how's that going to save them money? I don't get it. But I guess they figure they can cut costs, and they won't have to work so hard, I guess. Anyway, that's your U.S. Postal Service. All right, let me go ahead here and move into the email from the show. And I want to take just a few minutes, and I want to thank a few people. I've got to wait for this to load. I think, did it load? Let me look here. Let me switch this up. And if I missed you, I apologize for missing you. I don't think I got everyone here. No, matter of fact, I know I didn't get everyone here. So if I miss you on thanking you, I want to thank Carl for his $25 donation. I definitely appreciate that. I want to thank Lawrence for his $100 donation. I want to thank Richard for his $25 donation. I want to thank Ben for his $200 donation. That's the biggest donation so far. We want to thank him. And we've got a number of other donations that have come in the $25 range. I'll get those pulled out of PayPal. But I want to thank you guys for your donations over the weekend. Again, this is to help our support staff that is going to be coming to CES with us. And really, it's not very often I ask you for direct support of the show. But if I could get a tenth of you to just contribute $25, we could do some amazing things. Or even a hundredth of you to donate $25, we could do some amazing things. So a few of our loyal audiences stepped up. And I know money's tight. It's the holiday period. But if you like the content that we put together for you at CES every year, and the 270-plus interviews, all the work that goes into collecting it, boots on the ground, doing what we do, and all the editing and writing and everything else, we definitely appreciate your donations to help supporting our support staff at CES 2012. Every dollar that will be raised will go to helping those folks and helping cover additional expenses by them. And it is definitely greatly appreciated. Okay, a couple more emails here. I got an email here from Chris. Hey, Todd, it's Saturday morning here in Austin. I just caught your December 1st GNC episode of my Roku. I wanted to wish you a safe trip here. It's going to be cold and wet this week, but I hope you enjoy the stay. If you're going to any tech events open to public, I'd like to come by and say hi. If you're going to be doing any netcast while in Austin, I'd be interested in and observe how you do or what you do. If you're comfortable with that, and if our calendars can accommodate, Chris, I'll definitely drop you an email here this week for the Thursday show. Got an email here from Trucker Tom, and this is an interesting leak over on the Drudge Report, talking about how online soap opera cleans up with stimulus broadband cash. So I have that link up in the show notes. That'll make your eyes bulge out of your heads and seeing how your taxpayer dollars are working. And I got an email here from Tim, and he says, Katy Perry, Governor Perry's wife, LMAO, I laugh for a solid minute, Todd. I consider myself highly naive on the subject. Been even I heard the name Katy Perry before. Thanks for a laugh. Keep up the great work. Sent from Tim's iPhone. I'll have to admit, Tim, I had to Google her. I've never heard of her before. So much for me staying abreast of a pop culture, really. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, funny. Well, anyway, that was all the email that came in. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is where you can send your comments. Of course, we want you to call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 to send us any of your comments you've got about the show. We want to thank all of you for hanging out with me tonight. And we'll be back with you on Thursday for another show here on the road. Again, I'd like to hear your feedback on the new audio recording software, how it sounds from a quality perspective. Any hums or any weird things like that, definitely want to hear that. And for everyone else, we hope the video turned out well so we can get that up for you to watch. The last time was my lips and the audio were so far out of sync, and it got worse as the program went on. There was just no way to fix it. So nothing more annoying as watching a video and the lips be completely out of the sync of the content. It's not even worth putting up. But it's chilly here in Texas. And I actually need to get something to eat. I've ate very little today, and I'm going to go out. It's probably too. Actually, I shouldn't eat. It's pretty late here. So until next time, everyone take care. Thanks. We'll see you next time. Aloha.